WQST from the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. This is the ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter for April 20th, 2011. The Aries Audio E-Letter Report is a voice version of the Aries E-Letter, which is compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE. The Aries E-Letter is available online at www.arrl.org/Aries-EL. Or you may listen to the audio version at www.arrl.org/Aries-E-letter-audio-version. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, and my script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB. In this edition, we have for you Aries Briefs, Aries Digest, MCOM West 2011, next month in Reno, Surefire Ways to Kill Your Aries Program, Setting Up a Twitter Alert System, Letters, New to Aries, the 2011 National Hurricane Conference, and K1CE for a final. First, Aries Briefs. By Friday, March 25th, the Japan Amateur Radio League, JARL, headquarters stations had completed disaster relief communications on the 7 MHz band for the catastrophic northeastern Japan earthquake and tsunami of March 11th. The JARL thanked radio amateurs for their cooperation in keeping 7.030 MHz clear for the relief communications effort. A report may be found online by clicking on the link provided in the Aries E-Letter for April 20th, 2011. Amateur Radio Emergency Communications Enhancement Bills. Of the two versions of the Amateur Radio Emergency Communications Enhancement Act of 2011, H.R. 81 and S. 191, the latter is expected to move through the Senate before H.R. 81 is taken up by the House. Quiet efforts are underway to smooth the path of the legislation through the committees of jurisdiction. Current information on both measures and on H.R. 607, the Broadband for First Responders Act of 2011, which poses a threat to our 70-centimeter band, can be found at www.arrl.org/current-legislation. The Aries E-Letter audio version is now available on iTunes as a podcast. I have a long web address for you, which I'll repeat. Click on https://itunes.apple.com/us/podcast/aries-e-letter-audio-version/id42990-1721. Now let me repeat that. The web address for the audio version of the Aries E-Letter can be found at https://itunes.apple.com/us/podcast/aries-e-letter-audio-version/id42990-1721. www.tninterop.com has a very well done film on the issue of interoperability, and that should be required viewing for Aries members who want to gain a greater understanding of the issues facing both our own service and our served agencies. Thanks to Les Rayburn, N1LF in Alabaster, Alabama, for this information. ARRL Partners Roundup. April 18, 2011. Red Cross responds after tornadoes, wildfires leave devastation across the South. Also, April 18, 2011, Salvation Army response efforts to deadly tornadoes, wildfires across southern U.S. More information may be viewed by clicking on the link provided in the ARES e-letter for April 20, 2011. This is the ARRL Audio ARES e-letter. We pause now for stations to identify. Now the ARES Digest. Wicked tornadoes rip up the South. Skywarn, ARES responds. Devastating tornadoes swept through the southern portion of the country over the course of the last few days, and after-action reports so far are sketchy, but your editor has reached a few key ARES officials for some early indications of responses. ARES and Skywarn were activated in Atoka, Oklahoma, and other areas of the state, especially the northeast and southeast, for the tornado emergencies, according to Oklahoma SEC Mark Conklin, N7XYO. Oklahoma ARRL Public Information Coordinator Lloyd Colston, KC5FM, reported last Friday was a very busy day for the state. There were wildfire emergencies in the west and tornadoes in the southeast. Mr. Colson said both Skywarn and ARES were involved. These two groups of volunteers, he said, are married together for these types of situations. They work extremely well together. Alabama Section Manager David Drummond, W4MD, said many areas in western Alabama were activated, particularly in Sumter, Tuscaloosa, and Greene counties where tornadoes were on the ground. Numerous ARES nets across the state were convened in support of these areas. Skywarn spotters reported ground tracks back to the National Weather Service offices in Birmingham via multiple modes, including D-Star. Damage assessments were also provided to the Red Cross at Tuscaloosa and the state EMA at Clanton. SEC Greg Gross, K4GR, called up the Alabama ARES state net on 3965 kHz, which was in session for more than 6 hours. Activity reports are still coming in to the section manager, and a more comprehensive report is pending. In North Carolina, Section Manager Bill Moreen, N2COP, said storms resulted in the most lives lost in the state due to a natural disaster since 1984, with 23 confirmed dead. Because devastation was highly localized due to the narrow swath of many of the tornadoes, there were few communications outages. Nevertheless, Skywarn was active and ARES operators were on standby for much of the weekend. Tom Brown, N4TAB, North Carolina Section Emergency Coordinator, reports, Triad Skywarn in the Winston-Salem, Greensboro, and High Point areas were activated under the Raleigh National Weather Service, NWS. They reported events as the storm line developed, intensified, and moved east. As it cleared their jurisdiction, ARES Triad operators provided reports into Central Carolina Skywarn about conditions on the backside of the storm line. John Hamilton, NC4JH, is the Triad Skywarn Emergency Coordinator. According to Virginia Enzor, NC4VA, the Central Carolina Skywarn EC, Central Carolina Skywarn also activated under Raleigh NWS. It was very busy for many hours with rotating staff of at least 2 full-time operators on the air, taking reports for the NWS and picking up the nets as reports were passed to the NWS. When the NWS office was evacuated to safe quarters, the Skywarn operators moved with the NWS staff and continued their activities without interruption. That was an absolutely exemplary example of how to do it right. George Deering, W3GJD, the Wilson County EC, reported Wilson County ARES was activated for about 5 hours and handled damage reports. SEC Tom Brown, N4TAB, logged into and monitored the State Emergency Management Web EOC system for more than 20 hours, maintaining situational awareness. Most state ARES jurisdictions also maintain situational awareness for the duration of the events. According to Deering, we had offers of boots-on-the-ground support from across the state and from surrounding states from both ARES and MARS. The Newport, North Carolina NWS Skywarn operators in the northeastern part of the state, headed by Skywarn EC John Hopkins, KJ4EJH, had two busy net controls, Pat Gorman, KE4WZY, and Tom Young, KF4VOL. Bertie County, a rural county, was hard hit but served well by the Newport NWS group. In Virginia, Section Manager Carl Clements, W4CAC, reported that Skywarn nets were activated throughout the state and sent reports to NWS offices, including the Wakefield NWS facility. We pause now for stations to identify. This is the ARRL Audio ARES e-letter. We continue now with the ARES Digest. Western Pennsylvania Tornado Response. On March 30, 2011, Western Pennsylvania hams responded to a tornado emergency. At approximately 4:30 p.m. on Wednesday, March 23, severe thunderstorms started to roll into Westmoreland County, Pennsylvania. The storm produced golf ball-sized hail and heavy winds. Members of the Westmoreland County Public Service ARES Group were involved. Southern California Hospital Support. Hams fill in communications gap. The Hospital Disaster Support Communications System is known as HDSCS. HDSCS amateurs provided backup communications when phones failed at a Southern California hospital. When nurses and other caregivers picked up their phones at Children's Hospital of Orange County, or CHOC, in California in the early morning of March 21st, there was no dial tone. A power surge caused the central processor in the hospital's phone switch to fail. Following established procedures, the lead operator at the CHOC switchboard immediately used an off-switch tie line to reach April Moel, WA6OPS, head of the ARES group that specializes in helping hospitals when their communications fail. Just 15 days later, HDSCS was activated again to help another Orange County hospital. A group pager alert at 10:28 a.m. on April 5th brought hams to Saddleback Hospital in Laguna Hills, after a digital equipment failure caused the inbound and outbound trunk lines to become inoperative. Again, Moel's phone number was given to the Orange County Communications Agency so that ambulance companies and other hospitals could contact the Saddleback Hospital via HDSCS. The outage lasted until 6 p.m. that day. Of the 115 times that HDSCS has been activated for communications problems in Orange County hospitals, this was the 85th time that it was due to a switchgear or cable failure. According to April Moel, WA6OPS, who is an ARES DEC, many hams around the state and the country ask me why Orange County has so many phone system failures in hospitals. They seem to think this doesn't happen in their own areas, but they're mistaken. We know from our own experience that phone equipment isn't 100% reliable. I know from talking to lots of hospital disaster planners around the country that they have plenty of failures too. But far too often, hams think that amateur radio can help only in all else fails disasters, such as hurricanes and tornadoes and floods. Most ham emergency groups don't prepare and plan to help in these single hospital incidents. They don't set up 24-hour alerting plans for the hospitals to use to contact them quickly when phones go down, so they never get the call. Moel continues, when a nurse on a hospital unit has an urgent need to contact a patient's physician at his office or home, but the phones are down because switchgear has failed, that's just as severe an emergency as it would be in a widespread natural disaster. Orange County hospitals know and appreciate us because we come when they call and we connect their staff members to the outside, no matter the cause of the communications outage. We urge other ARES groups around the country to adopt our hospital model, which includes robust alerting plans for each hospital, regular meetings with the hospital disaster planners, and ready-to-respond members who are trained in the special terminology and communications needs of medical facilities. More information about HDSCS and its successful model for hospital communication support is at the group's website, www.hdscs.org. Thanks to Joe Moell, K0OV in Fullerton, California, for this information. Bergen, New Jersey members active in flooding emergency. Hams from the Bergen Amateur Radio Association, BARA, provided communications for the Red Cross of Northern New Jersey. The five-day response was in support of relief efforts in the wake of severe flooding that occurred in the area in early March. BARA hams leading the effort were Tony Izzo, K2AMI, Phil Barber, WA2LXE, and Bob Javits, WB2AIU. Operating from a permanent station installed by BARA at the Red Cross Disaster Relief Headquarters in Ridgewood, New Jersey, the hams maintained contact with the disaster assessment teams covering the flooded areas and relayed their reports to various departments as needed. According to Bob Pavlik, response manager for the Red Cross, the continuing support from BARA for our efforts here in northern New Jersey has resulted in a more timely flow of information and data collection. Red Cross disaster assessment volunteers, who are also hams, provided the input from the field. West Texas Wildfires Response. On April 9th at 4:15 p.m., ARRL West Texas District 5 EC Bob Ward, WA5ROE, received a call from Jeff Davis County, Texas Fire Marshal Stuart Billingsley, N5HXZ, informing him that a fire had begun in the West Texas town of Marfa and was rapidly approaching Fort Davis, 22 miles to the northeast. Stewart asked me, Ward reports, to call the National Weather Service to get it on the alert system, as well as AM and FM radio stations in Alpine. Ward told the ARRL he wanted it broadcast over the radio stations that he needed the Mano Prieto and Fort Davis Estates subdivisions evacuated. This was the Rock House Fire. At the same time, another fire, the Roper Fire, had started on the eastern edge of Alpine. Ward contacted the NWS and the radio stations and then put out a call on 2 meters asking for Alpine amateurs to report to the Emergency Operations Center in Brewster County. Ward explained that later that day, the repeater system was linked to the West Texas repeater system to handle traffic for the American Red Cross. He said, "We also provided phone patches for American Electric Power, the local electric company, as they came in to install a large generator to supply power to the Fort Davis area. The net was finally secured at noon on April 11th. MCOM West 2011, next month in Reno. The ARRL Specialty Event Convention, MCOM West, is coming to Reno, Nevada on May 6th, 7th, and 8th, 2011. This is a premier event that specifically focuses on emergency radio. This year's keynote ARRL speaker will be Mike Corey, W5MPC, Emergency Response and Planning Manager for ARRL Headquarters. Corey will share the latest in the world of emergency communications and what we can look forward to, having just passed the 75th anniversary of ARES. The Saturday night banquet speaker will be special guest former ARRL President Jim Haney, W5JBP. Haney served 3 terms as league president and made major contributions to amateur radio, including the Big Project, to attract young people into the hobby. This from ARRL Sacramento Valley Section News, March 2011. This is the audio version of the Aries e-letter. We pause now to allow repeaters to identify. This is the audio version of the Aries e-letter. Repeater owners, this message for you. Please let us know if your repeater is airing the ARRL Audio Aries e-letter. Please send an email to kz3ab@arrl.net. And please remember to put the word repeater in the subject line. Please include the day, time, location, repeater call sign, frequency, and any sponsoring club. The Audio Aries e-letter is aired every third Friday of the month after the MDC Echolink Section Net, which usually ends around 9 p.m. Eastern Time, on WB3GXW, 2-meter repeater in Silver Spring, Maryland. The frequency is 147.225 MHz. Thanks to John Creel, WB3GXW, for providing this service. Surefire Ways to Kill Your Aries Program. Last month I offered what I believe are 10 ways to grow an Aries or MCOM program. This month, I'll offer a list of ways to do just the opposite. Politics. If you've been around a while, you've experienced the evil of amateur radio politics, often made worse because we are a passionate bunch and nobody really has an important stake in the debate. Aries is different. We have a public safety mission, and people count on us. We do not have time for politics. A commitment to community service and mission can fill the vacuum politics creates that you would otherwise be drawn into. Before you start something or play someone else's games, ask yourself, is this really worth it? Sometimes you'll say yes. But no is often a wiser, long-term decision. The best way to avoid politics is honesty and obvious goodwill. Failure to communicate and delegate. This is absolutely key. One of the best ways to keep volunteers, arguably the only way, is to give the ones who want something to do a task they can do and want to do. You need to match the task to the volunteer and be careful to match the task and deadline to the volunteer's reliability. Getting others involved is the key to your group's success. Train these people to become your leaders. Another way to kill your Aries program, not loving your volunteers. As a leader, you can't accomplish very much working alone. Your job is creating excellent volunteer experiences and keeping your volunteers involved, fulfilled, and happy. If you don't really love your volunteers, not merely respect or like them, but love them, you will fail. Think of your volunteers as an extended family, and get them to think of each other in the same way. Be the example. Forgetting to say thanks. A wise manager once told me that there is really only one thing you can tell a volunteer. Thanks. Because you can't force them to do anything. Remind your people constantly that their efforts are 1. Important, 2. Make a difference, and 3. Are appreciated. You need to concentrate on all 3. Failure to apologize. As a leader, you're going to make mistakes. Decisions you make are sometimes going to make people unhappy. You must always weigh the gains made by doing something against the people it will upset and that potential loss. I generally find myself doing something while remaining sensitive to the people those actions might upset. In general, apologize sincerely, early, often, and sometimes even when you might not be wrong. But you must be sincere, or this will totally backfire. Misunderstanding served agencies. This is a topic for an ARRL handbook-sized essay, but if you don't understand what your agencies need and want, how they function, and what they value, you will not have a good relationship with them. That could be your undoing. work with multiple agencies to reduce the potential downside. Not investing in growth. This is absolutely key. I don't care how you do it, but you need to constantly work to sign up and train new members. I am a big fan of ARES groups and community emergency response teams working together. Do what works in your area. Last month, I recommended one-day ham-cram licensing events as a growth tool. Not everyone agreed. To see my response to a ham-cram critic about how to do a ham-cram, click on n5fdl.com/hamcram. Not investing in relationships. The primary job of ARES leaders isn't radio, it's relationships. Relationships with volunteers, agencies, one another, allied groups, etc. If you put your time and effort into building relationships among people, your communications capability will improve by multiples. Personal burnout. Leaders need to look after one another as well as themselves. If you need help, support, or cheering up, ask for it, especially from the leaders you have created. This advice from David Kersey, N5FDL, contributing editor. You may visit his blog at n5fdl.com. We pause now to allow repeaters to identify. Our next topic is setting up a Twitter alert system. One tool that might be useful for some groups is Twitter for rapidly sending out club, group, or ARES alerts or announcements. Anyone who has a cell phone that can send and receive text messages can easily enable these alerts to show up on their phones. No smartphone or complicated setup required. Setting up a new Twitter account takes just a few minutes, and for your members to sign up to receive updates is even faster. To set up a new account, visit www.twitter.com and look for the Sign Up button. For further instructions, see the April 20th edition of eLetter Online at arrl.org/ARES-EL. If you want to get started to see how some amateur radio operators are using Twitter, check out hamtwits.com. This from Dan Dawson, KI6ESH. He can be reached with questions or corrections to this article on Twitter @KI6ESH or via KI6ESH.com. And this editor's note, the ARRL headquarters is also on Twitter. You may find us at www.twitter.com/ARRL_MCOM. Thanks to Mike, W5MPC. Now letters. In regard to several points made by correspondents in the last issue on the subject of batteries for HTs, the number one thing we're told is to get a AA-size battery case, since AA batteries are available almost everywhere. You are more likely to find AA batteries than a charger outlet for your nickel-metal hydride battery pack in an emergency power-out situation. But the truth is, there are times when you can get AA-size batteries, but no charger outlet. If AAA-size batteries are going to be in less demand in this scenario, then an adapter to make AAA-size batteries fit your AA battery case would be a good idea. On the subject of commodity communication infrastructure, you cannot count on being able to place a cell phone call in an emergency situation. But SMS, Simple Message Service, may still work. SMS uses what was initially unused bits in the handshake protocol between cell phones and the network. So even if the network is flooded to capacity with voice and data traffic, as long as the phones can tell the network that they exist, they can send a text message. This suggests that SMS may not be an altogether bad way to make initial contact with your ARES team. Regarding transportation, Dogma seems to limit it to the MCOM truck, van, or trailer. Bicycles don't seem to be part of our plans, not even for getting to fixed locations. I've gone bicycle mobile for parades, and I've also seen bicycle mobile use in marathon event communications systems. Just a thought from Chris Bone, N0RZT, Portable 4 in Navarre, Florida. Editor's note, here in Florida, we see many public safety officials riding dirt bikes with knobby tires with handheld radios on their belts. Bicycle use could be good for ARRI's operators, too, plus it's good exercise. So says K1CE. Easy-to-use handhelds, HTs. Bob Skaggs in Santa Fe, New Mexico, writes, "We need a national dialogue on what constitutes an easily usable handheld radio that can be handed to anyone in an emergency and operated on the spot. All of the HTs that I own require that the operator have the manual close by in order to be able to program them. They are all different. In a major disaster event, many hams who have handhelds know how to use them and will be instantly successful in communicating. But if you think about asking many other hams to get out in the field and help, they may not know how to program their units, or borrowed units for that matter, beyond the basics. The KISS principle, keep it simple, stupid, dictates that a simple handheld for quick study and emergency use be marketed. The simplest HT I can remember using was the Kenwood Model TH-22 with thumb wheel switches on the top and dip switches on the front to choose the PL tone. Simple switches on the back selected offset and power levels. If an operator was handed one, he or she would quickly be able to get it into operation on frequency almost immediately. I think you should start a dialogue in your newsletter about what we need and what models are already available that are simple to use. Signed, Bob Skaggs, KB5RX, Santa Fe, New Mexico. Editor Rick Palm, K1CE, replied, "I reviewed the ICOM ICV-80 in the product review column in the March 2011 edition of QST Magazine. It seemed to fill the bill, as prescribed by Mr. Skaggs." New to ARRIs? Here are some basic sources of good ARRIs information. The ARRL Public Service Communications Manual, PSCM, is the Bible for ARRIs and NTS operators. For field operators, check out the ARRI's Field Resources Manual. It's a quick trainer and field resource guide for the emergency communicator. You may find your local ARRI's activity and organizations by clicking on arrl.org/sections. The 2011 National Hurricane Conference. As this e-letter is getting ready to head out the virtual door, amateur radio is being well represented at the 2011 National Hurricane Conference in Atlanta, Georgia. The ARRL is being represented by Southeast Division Director Greg Surratt, W4OZK, and ARRL Headquarters is being represented by Emergency Preparedness Assistant Ken Bailey, K1FUG. Stay tuned for a full report in next month's ARRI's e-letter. Once again, we pause for station identification. This is the audio version of the ARRI's e-letter for April 20th. And now, K1CE for a final. I dusted off an older editorial I wrote for QST a number of years ago, and I thought I would replay it now, as it is still relevant, perhaps even more so today. It also appears in the ARRL's Public Service Communications Manual. Meeting the communications needs of served agencies is a challenging and often daunting proposition in today's complex post-9/11 disaster and emergency relief arena. With the proliferation of emergency relief organizations' increasingly sophisticated needs, all competing for that scarce resource, the volunteer, coupled with the emergence of other non-ARRI's amateur providers, it's enough to make an operator's head spin. As more of the population moves to disaster-prone areas and less government funding is available, more pressure is consequently placed on agencies to appropriately use the volunteer sector for support of their missions in disaster mitigation. The League's formal relationships with served agencies are vitally important and valuable to radio amateurs. They provide us with the opportunity to contribute meaningfully to the relief and suffering among our fellow human beings. Another substantial benefit, not to be overlooked, is that the relationships lend legitimacy and credibility for amateur radio's public service capability, and that is important when it comes time to defend our frequencies and privileges before the FCC and Congress. So the ARRL's relationships with the emergency disaster relief world need to be nurtured. What to do? First, it is imperative that a detailed local operational plan be developed with agency managers in the jurisdiction. These should set forth precisely what each organization's expectations are during a disaster operation. ARES and agency officials must work jointly to establish protocols for mutual trust and respect. Make sure they know who the principal ARES official is in the jurisdiction. All matters involving recruitment and utilization of ARES volunteers are directed by him or her in response to the needs assessed by the agency involved. Make sure ARES counterparts in these agencies are aware of ARES policies, capabilities, and perhaps most importantly, resource limitations. Let them know that ARES may have other obligations to fulfill with other agencies too. Technical issues involving message format, security of message transmission, disaster welfare inquiry policies, and others should be reviewed and expounded upon in the detailed local operations plans. Another challenge ARES faces is the number of agencies that demand communication support during a disaster. A local ARES unit only has so much to go around, and it can't possibly meet every agency's needs. The League maintains several formal Memoranda of Understanding, or MOUs, with disaster and emergency response agencies. These agencies include the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, the National Weather Service, NWS, the Salvation Army, Red Cross, and others. But these documents, or MOUs, merely set forth a framework for possible cooperation at the local level. While they are designed to encourage mutual recognition, cooperation, and coordination, they should not be interpreted as the means to commit, obligate, or mandate in any way that an ARES unit must serve a particular agency or meet all of its needs in a jurisdiction. MOUs are door openers to help you get your foot in the door. It is up to you to decide whether or not to pursue a local operational plan with an agency, a decision that will be based on a number of factors, including the local needs of the agency and the resources you have available to support these needs, given that you may have other prioritized commitments as well. To address this, sit down with your fellow ARES members, EC and SEC, and determine what agencies are active in your area. Evaluate each of their needs and which ones you are capable of meeting. Then, prioritize these agencies and their needs. After you're all in agreement, sit down with your counterparts in each of the agencies and execute local, detailed operational plans and agreements in light of your priority list based on the above. Given the above, however, you should also be working for growth in your ARES program, making it a stronger, a more valuable resource, and hence able to meet more of the agency's local needs. A stronger ARES means a better ability to serve your communities in times of need, and a greater sense of pride for amateur radio by both amateur radio operators and the public. And that's good for all of us. See you next month. 73 from Rick, K1CE. And that's the ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter for April 20th, 2011. The Aries Audio E-Letter is a monthly service of the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Organization for Amateur Radio. The Aries Audio E-Letter is a voice version of the ARRL Aries E-Letter, compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE. To learn more about amateur radio, or to get the latest in amateur radio news, visit ARRL.org on the World Wide Web. Our thanks to this month's contributors. My script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB. Thanks for listening, and 73. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN. Copyright 2011, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. All rights reserved.